Bonjour tout le monde.
Bonjour Cassidy.
Nous sommes ici aujourd'hui pour se souvenir des événements du sexe garage de l'année passée et de notre kissing raté qu'on a eu devant le poste 25. Alors cette année, on va essayer de le faire encore, mais cette fois ici, comme il faut, sans la brutalité policière.
We're here exactly that. We're here to remember what happened last year when we tried to have a kiss in. Hi, girl. And it didn't quite work because some people got offended, I guess. So we're going to try it again this year. We're going to do it right. Grab a partner, kiss, go home, have a lovely day. It's summertime. Enjoy. So let the games begin.
Kissing noises.
Oh wait! Let's make some kissing.
Let's make some kissing noises. Enough?
Just close your eyes.
Think of England.
Brilliant kissing noises. Thank you. Kissing
that was
noises.
Great, girl. Oh baby. Oh baby.
Let's see.
Okay, let's see. Okay, close. Yeah, that's a kissing noise.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Those are kissing noises. Definitely kissing noises.
Oh.
Oh. Filth, absolute filth.
Hi, baby.
Kissing noises.
And legend has it that the weather for today will be marked as it's St. Swithin's Day for the next 40 days. It determines the weather for the next 40 days. St. Swithin's is an old, real English saint who they wanted to exhume his body from the churchyard.
Okay.
I think it's sort of 13th century stuff.
13, we're going back a long way.
And they wanted to give him a proper burial that a saint would be accustomed to. And when they went to exhume his body, there was such a downpour that they couldn't. And the downpour lasted for 40 days. So the legend has it that the weather of that day will be the weather for the next 40 days.
Kind of like Noah's Ark. Didn't it rain for 40 days? 40 days.
There's something in the Bible about 3s, 6s, and 40s, and 7s. But I can't get into the numerology.
Fine.
It is, I think, we should, you know, to make it more secular, call it the summertime Groundhog Day.
I like to kiss my girlfriend on the road.
It's quite delicious.
Yes, we have sex. Yes. I have been in her genital area.
Dragging my neck through her genital area.
So, I don't know. I never see what they do. I can't see if it's with your mouth or your chin or your neck or what. But it's somewhere like from your knee, between your knees and your hips. I mean, I know for Télé-Quatre Saisons last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. For to gauge public response to same sex.
Ah, how did it go?
We got jostled. We got.
Where did you neck, first of all?
On the corner of Peel and St. Catherine.
Just the two of you?
Yeah. I mean, we had like security sort of were standing around across the street and stuff.
This was a cat season experiment.
Yeah, and the camera was across the street. And then Jamie and Glenn did it on the corner of Beaudry and St. Catherine. Yeah.
What was the difference?
Well, Jamie and Glenn managed to run into some skins, so that was pretty scary. But the skins, I think, were more pissed at the Télé-Quatre Saisons for doing it than...
Yeah, okay. Them actually doing
it.
Kind of things, yeah. Noises.
Woo!
I feel strong because it's good here to be here today with so many people publicly, visibly demanding an end to the violence against gays and lesbians. Woo! I'm Pierre Bone and I'm with the Ottawa Hall Lesbian and Gay Task Force on Violence, and I'm fed up with anti-gay and anti-lesbian violence. I'm here with you today to send a clear message to gay bashers in or out of uniform that the violence stops here today. The Ottawa Hall Task Force extends its full support to the demands advanced by Montreal's gay and lesbian community. The police went way too far, and they should say so publicly. Our community has endured too much violence for too long. I, for one, don't feel like taking this shit anymore. However, our anger alone is not enough to end the violence. We need to send a strong, clear message to the gay bashers like the Montreal police. That message: we're strong, we have numbers, and the anti-gay and anti-lesbian violence will not be tolerated, not by us, not by our friends, not by our families. Thank you. Yeah.
watching! The whole world's watching! The whole world's watching!
Good evening, Dykes on Mics. We're here again with yet another show, and the show is in commemoration of what happened to go a year ago today.
A year ago, exactly today. It's the 15th of July, and it was the 15th of July that the Montreal MUC police broke up a party at 4 in the morning at a warehouse, allegedly because of complaints from neighbors, and of course there were no neighbors because it was in a warehouse somewhere down Beaver Hall Hill. They took off their badges and sort of terrorized people and corralled them and pushed them around and beat up a few people, arrested 8 people.
Using billy sticks and obscenities while doing so, I think it's really important to point out that their conduct was less than becoming, particularly as they couldn't be identified anymore by their identification number, which puts them in a certain moral role in society. Once that number is lost, they are no longer compelled to act under the mandate of the police department. They're sort of renegade policemen.
And police women.
Precisely. They were both. And that's, well, it was gay men and gay women, and they were both, they were attacked, and several of them were sort of kneed and hit through in the crotch area with billy sticks. One person suffered a busted scrotum, I believe. He was in the hospital.
Busted scrotum? No, yeah. He was a bruised testicle.
A bruised testicle. Anyway, yes.
But yeah, he was hospitalized.
Right.
And
what was his name?
Edward Cook.
Mm-hmm. And he was quoted widely in the press.
Yeah. Yeah. The next day, there was a sit-in in the street. There was probably about 200 people, and it was a hot, humid day like today, except there was rain. And 200 people blocked off St. Catherine and a street in the gay village. And the cops came. And there was some dialogue, and the cops decided that if we were to leave now peacefully and stop blocking traffic, then the next day there would be dialogue, and we could talk to them. They would allow us to sort of sit down and dialogue. And so we left. And the next day, at Station 25, it was quite a big demonstration, actually. I think probably another 100, 150 people attended, and the cops locked their doors, and that was that. They didn't want anybody to go in. They didn't want to talk to anybody, and they wouldn't. They weren't interested in negotiating.
Then they donned full riot gear with complete visors that screened their faces, dark visors.
And once again, a lot of them took off their ID badges. And an interesting thing about the Station 25 thing last year is that it was very, very well documented by mainstream media, and also there was a lot of people with their own video cameras and cameras.
So people sat down in the street, it was de Maisonneuve, in front of Station 25, and began to do passive resistance, which is sort of locking of arms and sitting in a crouched position, and just waited. And what happened is the police came out in full riot gear and began to drag them away while poking them with billy clubs. Again, murmuring obscenities, direct insults to the people who had been sitting on the street.
Just direct homophobic speech and conduct, thought, word, and deed. That's exactly how they behaved. And it was more than just poking people. I saw a number of people with severely bruised arms and sprained wrists and bruises on their breasts as well from being poked with the billy sticks. And
stitches on faces.
Yeah. And it was clear on the news. People were being dragged by their hair, heads bumping on the cement.
It was interesting because the coverage of Montreal mainstream television ranged widely, but they went to the a straight couple at the side of the road and asked them what they thought, and they said they had never seen such unprovoked violence, and they were completely outraged. But it was interesting too that that particular coverage did not go to the people involved in the demonstration themselves. They had to find someone that was sort of validated in their stance of being innocent bystander, which I think is quite complex and a bit insulting in some ways, as if they had more right to speak than the people who had been assaulted.
Also interesting, I think, in the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival last November, there was two women, Maureen Bradley and Danielle Como, did a video on the Sex Garage of last year, probably about 25 minutes long. And back to back with that one, on the same night, was a videotape of an ACT UP demonstration in New York City. And so there we saw how the cops dealt with trouble on the streets, demonstrations, and how they dealt with getting people off the streets. And then we saw how the Montreal cops dealt with getting people off the streets, and the difference was just astounding. The Montreal cops obviously have, well, they've got no finesse, but more importantly, they really don't know how to deal with groups of people who are passively resisting. The only way they know how to do it is sort of to get in there with their clubs and stomp around, and whereas the New York cops do this a lot, I guess. You know, they've got a lot more experience, and so there's a procedure that's followed.
They've also been known to don rubber gloves when dealing with gay demonstrations to show their fear of contracting AIDS.
It's true, but all I'm saying is that there's something a little bit more subtle about the way they go about their business, and the Montreal urban police is just, they're
brutal.
Just rough and brutal, and just so really overt about their kind of redneck attitude.
And really without cause and without conversation with the gay community, much has been in procedure now to institute various anti-gay and anti-lesbian sort of phobic policies in the MUC police, but I'm not sure how far that's progressing. Do you know?
Oh, well, from what I gather, now LGV is a group, Lesbians and Gays Against Violence, that was set up last year after what happened. So again, it was one of these groups that started off quite large, too large, kind of unruly, and disorganized, and there was a lot of dissension and infighting. I mean, that's eventually what it sort of deteriorated into, but I'm not, I attended a few meetings, and in any case, it exists, it continues to exist as a political group, and according to them, really, on the whole, nothing has changed. There's been lots of talk with the cops, because there are a gay and a lesbian that represent sort of the gay and lesbian community in communication with the police department, the commission, the board, the police board. And nothing has changed. Apparently there's just nothing to talk about, you know? The cops don't really want to talk about anything. And tonight on the news, there's a spokesperson for the cops, and according to him, well, of course, things have changed. They're trying, and it's a long process, and it's a two-way street, etc., etc. So I should say that this afternoon, well, the tape we heard at the beginning of the show, now that's from last year's demonstrations, and today at noon, to commemorate Sex Garage, there was a kiss-in at Station 25 downtown. There was about 100 people, and an awful lot of media. It was quite extraordinary, actually. It almost felt like we were outnumbered by video cameras and tape recorders, dictaphones.
Yours included?
Mine included.
So we're going to listen to a bit of that tape later in the show.
Yeah, we are. Well, pretty soon, actually. I guess I just wanted to mention a bit further the fact that that not a whole lot has happened, really, in the past year, except that what was interesting last year and what was ultimately quite empowering and joyful, I think, was that after 2 weeks, the various demonstrations and talks culminated in a very large march, the largest gay march that Montreal's ever seen, with a big party in Parc Lafontaine afterwards. And lesbians and gay men sort of acknowledged each other and sort of recognizes that there are, you know, the men and the women, the fags and the dykes, because it's been quite separate.
Also, during that march, there were simultaneous marches in Washington, and I believe San Francisco in solidarity, smaller marches.
Well, certainly in Calgary and Vancouver and Toronto,
mm-hmm.
There were.
Yes, across Canada, but also in the States. And there were smaller marches, but they were making a point. So we managed to get the news out to other areas, and they managed to support us as well. But mind you, this is a police department which is renowned for its racism. And if you follow the incidents with Jean-Francois and the shooting point blank, we have to remember to work in solidarity with other people, particularly the black community, the native peoples, to work as a rainbow coalition to prevent prejudice operating at so many different levels and its insidious side effects. In this case, something that's absolutely tragic for the black community yet again, and the third time such a tragedy has happened, where an unarmed black man was shot with very little cause. So we have to remember to bond together and work.
Because that's where the police are coming from, really. That seems to be their sort of reflex action. But yes, as you're saying, in solidarity with other groups. But importantly for me, what I saw last year was some solidarity within the gay community, which had been, up to then, to my eyes anyhow, somewhat lacking. The boys did what the boys did, and the gals did what the gals did, and
never the bar should meet.
Yeah.
I'm given the bar policies at places like KOX, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But there was some sort of recognition and looking in the eyes, you know, between fags and dykes, and, hi there.
Yeah.
We could like each other. We could work together.
And we should.
And we should, and we are, you know. I mean, there's a lot of attention that often focused on the divisive nature of groups and how they are not getting along, and how the boys don't listen to the girls, and the girls do this. And it's, well, finally, it's just kind of juvenile, right? Because there are bigger things to slay than each other, so. Okay, so, tonight, I watched the news at 6 o'clock, and Channel 6 and Channel 12 had considerable coverage in view of the fact that actually the demonstration was kind of small, the kissing. But still, it garnered enough media attention so that there was like a 2 or 3 minute segment on both news channels.
Well, that's extraordinary because if I remember, it was not 45 seconds for the last demonstration.
I'm exaggerating, but it was long in that they actually went back to last year, and they said that this the reason for this gay pride demonstration was what they called it was because of last year's sex garage. So they dug up some footage from last year and actually showed the police bashing a few people at Station 25 last year. So it was a whole story.
So it was a historical recount.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's responsible media.
It is. And they did focus particularly. I can't say either 6 or 12. Actually, both of them focused on the boys, mostly. There are mostly photographs or images of men kissing, tonguing even. Really, 6 o'clock news. And they went through the crowd, and there was a few people that spoke and said a few things, but mostly they just focused in on the, I mean, I guess it was a kissing, so that's what people were doing, but they did focus in on that element, you know, the sexual aspect. And there was even a few shots, I think it was on Channel 12, of people sitting in a bus, looking out of the bus window, kind of.
No doubt enjoying the prurient aspect themselves.
But I thought that was interesting, and most of the camera people were men. So it is kind of interesting, isn't it, that it's mostly men who appear on the news? Just a thought.
In passing.
Okay, so, once again, to commemorate further Sex Garage in Montreal, the 28th of July, there's going to be a parade, a march, like last year, 12:45, it's a Sunday, at Guy and de Maisonneuve, that's that funny little triangular park with Norman Bethuen marching in the wind, that park. The parade will end with a party in Parc Lafontaine. And last year's was a resounding success.
With much good footage of women in bustier shaking the boogie.
And it was hot, and it was dusty, and it was a blast.
And apparently 2 or 3 couples came out of it, so you can't miss this year.
Now, the one thing is, for the march, Queer Nation Rose and Lesbians and Gays, LGV, are organizing this, and apparently the cops want 100 marshals. So what they need is 100 volunteers to wear pink ribbons.
And look cute in uniform.
Well, yeah, and to wear a cute uniform, but also to wear the pink ribbons and just look official and keep people. Because apparently it's all of de Maisonneuve isn't going to be blocked off. It's just going to be half of de Maisonneuve. So they need more people so that they don't stray over to the side and da-da-da-da-da.
And we know who we'd rather have police us. We know from experience. So
our friends.
Exactly. So people volunteer.
The number to call if you want to volunteer. I know I caught you off guard. You don't have a pencil or a paper. Okay. 766-8802. 766-8802. Now, this afternoon at this kiss-in, I took the liberty of, well, making a little collage myself, just for those who couldn't attend. It was very upbeat, it was very open, and it was very there, very positive. Clearly, we are here, and we are queer, and for God's sake, let's just get used to it. So we're just going to play that collage tape.
Alors cette année, on va essayer de le faire encore, mais cette fois-ci, comme il faut. sans la brutalité policière.
We're here, exactly that. We're here to remember what happened last year when we tried to have a kiss in. Hi, girl. And it didn't quite work because some people got offended, I guess. So we're going to try it again this year. We're going to do it right. Grab a partner, kiss, go home, have a lovely day. It's summertime. Enjoy. So let the games begin.
Kissing noises.
Oh, wait. Let's make some kissing noises. Let's make some kissing noises. Enough? Just close your eyes.
Think of England.
Brilliant kissing noises. Thank you. Kissing noises.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
What would kissing noises sound like?
Let's see.
Okay, let's see what it sounds like.
Close, close.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's a kissing noise.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes.
Those are kissing noises. Definitely kissing noises. Oh. Oh.
Phil. Absolute Phil.
Hi, baby.
Kissing noises?
Legend has it that the weather for today will be marked as it's St. Swithin's Day for the next 40 days. It determines the weather for the next 40 days. St. Swithin's is an old, real English saint who they wanted to exhume his body from the churchyard.
Okay.
I think it's sort of 13th century stuff.
13, we're going back a long way.
And they wanted to give him a proper burial that a saint would be accustomed to. And when they went to exhume his body, there was such a downpour that they couldn't. And the downpour lasted for 40 days. So the legend has it that the day, the weather of that day, will be the weather for the next 40 days.
Kind of like Noah's Ark. Didn't it rain for 40 days? 40 days.
There's something in the Bible about 3s, 6s, and 40s, and 7s. But I can't get into the numerology. But it is, I think, we should, you know, to make it more secular, call it the summertime Groundhog Day.
I like to kiss my girlfriend on the road.
It's quite delicious.
Yes, we have sex. Yes. I have been in her genital area.
Dragging my neck through her genital area.
So, I don't know. I never see what they do. I can't see if it's with your mouth or your chin or your neck or what.
And it's somewhere like from your knee to your knees and your hips.
We met for Telecat Saison last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. For a to gauge public response to same-sex.
Ah, how did it go?
We got jostled. We got...
Where did you neck, first of all?
On the corner of Peel and St. Catherine.
There's two of you.
Yeah. I mean, we had, like, security sort of standing around across the street and stuff.
This is a Cat Saison experiment.
Yeah, and the camera was across the street. And then Jamie and Glenn did it on the corner of Beaudry and St. Catherine. Yeah.
What was the difference?
Well, Jamie and Glenn managed to run into some skins, so that was pretty scary. But the skins, I think, were more pissed at the Telecat Saison for doing it than...
Yeah, okay. Them actually doing
it?
Yeah. Kind of things, yeah. Noises. Woo!
Oh,
You did your thing. You did your thing.
I have something to tell you. I enjoy oral sex. With women. It's by a police station.
Well, I just went for the kissing noises here.
Oh, that's good. Help. Oh, sorry.
Don't you go hit the dictaphone.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to punch your dictaphone. Then.
Good evening.
Hi.
7:05, Dykes on Mics.
CKUT 90.3 FM on your radio dial, 91.7 on cable, and we're here tonight to say goodbye to some people who have left.
It's kind of a moving day theme, I think. Change, moving, and it's all very positive, in fact.
100,000 people moved as of July 1st. This is a ritual holiday for Quebecers, and some of those people who moved were our friends, but not just down the street and other sort of hidden alleys of the plateau. They've moved cities, and we're going to say an upbeat goodbye.